Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Family Talk. I'm James Dobson, and today we're going to continue our conversation with the president and CEO of The Family Leader. We talked about that last time. I'm speaking of Bob Vanderplaats, and he is the author of the book we were discussing yesterday about the desperate need for a revival in this country. I believe more so than any time in my life, and maybe any time since our founding. The book is called If 7:14, referring to the scripture in 2 Chronicles that reads, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." That's such an important scripture. We're going to talk about it today. And Dr. Meeker is on the phone with us. Why don't you go ahead and get us started today?
I would love to dive into your chapters. I love the way you arranged your chapters in If 7:14. And the first chapter is all about just the word if. And then each chapter goes around with a couple more words from that scripture. Why did you arrange the book that way?
Because I think what happens, Meg, is that we've heard this scripture so often. Billy Graham called out on this scripture many times. His daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, at the last National Day of Prayer, she talked
about powerful.
Oh, powerful. She talked about this scripture. So what I wanted to do is the high school teacher in me said, let's break it down. If that represents the tipping point, we need to make a decision here. And so, again, I want to inspire practical application. My people, that's God's people. I mean, if we're bearing his name, this message is for us. And we know how important God takes his name, who are called by my name, the importance of his name.
Yes.
And all the way we'll humble ourselves. I'm thinking, do we as Christians need to humble ourselves? Well, of course we do. Paul says, I have to die to myself daily. And then if they'll pray, seeking that relationship, if they'll seek my face, that's the basketball coach in me saying, it's almost like the proverbial timeout. And the coach grabbing the player and saying, you look me in the eyes, because what I'm about ready to tell you is very important. And then the turn, as we talked about earlier, that's the authenticity piece. Do you really mean it?
Mm. We've been talking to Bob Vanderplaats, who has written a new book. I guess it's been out for several months, called If 7:14, An Urgent Call for Revival. It's time. Mm-hmm. And you autographed my book and said, it's time.
It's time.
Because it is time, and it's past time. And I wonder how long the Lord will tolerate the kind of wickedness that we're displaying now.
The reason we used the words it's time in the title piece of it is not only as a culture is it time, we see that we're in that dead spirit against God's heart and his desire, but also what we wanted to do is call people to practical application to pray for revival, 7:14 in the morning, 7:14 in the evening.
I talked about the history of revivals. I know that they began with prayer. Mm. In almost every instance, they began with prayer.
They begin with prayer. So we said, everybody carries around a cell phone today. Set that cell phone, that smartphone, to 7:14 alarm in the morning, 7:14 alarm in the evening, and be reminded to pray for revival. And let it begin with you. Pray for revival for yourself first, that you get right with God, and then your marriage, then your family, and then the ripple effect. And that's where we really said it's time to make it practical again, the application. And why we're only making the book available at the if714.com website, because it's more of an initiative. We want to see these prayer pockets all around the country and world saying we're buying into If 714 about praying for revival.
Well, our time is really gone here, and it's such an important topic. But Bob, you mentioned at the start of this program, the Family Leadership Summit 2014. You do this every year, and it's one of the most successful conferences in the country. And the one that's coming up is August 9th. Is that the correct date?
It is. It's August 9th. It's going to be in Ames, Iowa. And for the listeners who can make it to Ames, Iowa, we encourage you to get to Ames. For those who can't, view it live stream at thefamilyleader.com. If you want to attend, you can get your tickets there as well, but it's thefamilyleader.com. We try to thread it with a biblical worldview, and that's why we have Joel Rosenberg. And we also have Pastor Rafael Cruz speaking at this.
Hey, let me list those that have already agreed to come or invited, and you have been very successful in bringing these people, especially in an election year, because you're going to have some people who have ambitions there. Dr. Ben Carson, Senator Ted Cruz, his father, Rafael Cruz, who's a great speaker.
Oh, boy, he's good.
Trey Gowdy, who's a congressman, Mike Huckabee, we all know him, Governor Bobby Jindal, Sarah Palin, Star Parker, great speaker, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Rick Perry, Joel Rosenberg, who's written so many great books, former Senator Rick Santorum, and Congressman Tim Scott. That's quite a lineup.
What
there.
A lineup.
Well,
yeah.
That's part of having the privilege of being in Iowa, yeah. where the presidential caucus starts off. But we are so excited because what we're asking people to do, the speakers like Huckabee, Santorum, Perry, Tim Scott, Jindal, those, we're asking them, take a major issue that's facing the families of America today. And then give us the solutions to those issues. And then what would you do about cast a vision for this country that would positively impact America's families?
Now, I have a card here that says, if 714 call and the Newsboys. Explain what this is about.
Well, we believe worship always comes before revival, that we need to worship and recognize a God that is and who's our creator and who's our father. And so on July 13, the day before 714, July 14, we're having the first annual, the If 714 call. And there'll be inspiration. There'll be a time of prayer. The Newsboys are coming. But it's to draw attention to the country about our need for revival. And the Newsboys believe that the God's Not Dead movie, their new song, We Believe, and If 714, God has interwoven those to try to spur revival for this country.
All right. We've piqued a lot of interest out there. How do they become involved in this? You have to write for tickets? Is it the $500 to attend?
Absolutely not. We don't charge for revival. All the tickets are complimentary. And so generous underwriters of making the evening available to them. Go to thefamilyleader.com, thefamilyleader.com.
And that's the organization you lead.
That's the organization I'm the president of. If 714 is a piece of that organization. They can find the link to If 714 if they want to get the book, if they want to get involved in the prayer revival initiative, or if they want to come to the If 714 call or watch it online.
Mm. Bob, are you hopeful for our country? Or are you discouraged?
Well,
I mean, you've already said in the previous program that the last national election, the 2012 election, was the most important election in American history. And I believe that.
You bet.
We're not going to take it one step further to talk about the political implications, but I knew it then, and I said it on the air. It's sort of now or never.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the decisions that were made in that year, 2012, are haunting us today. So what does the future hold? Do you have hope for us?
Well, my hope is in this, and that's in a spiritual revival, an awakening of God's churches, God's people.
So it's not political.
I believe politics is downstream from culture. This past year, just 3-4 months ago, I was highly encouraged to run for U.S. Senate. I was leading the primary polls 3-1. And the reason I didn't run for United States Senate is I really believe that politics is downstream from culture. We need to spur and ignite a revival that calls God's people back to common sense, His ways. And when that happens, the politics will change then as well. But and many of my peers believe the same thing, just like what Governor Huckabee said. If we don't do this, it's game over. If we do this, there's great hope.
I love what you say about revival. And I think that for every one of our listeners out there who may feel overwhelmed or discouraged or say, I don't know anything about politics and what can I do about the culture? Honestly, revival can be as simple as everyone listening, as you say, set your clocks to 7:14 twice a day and simply pray. If we mothers and kids and fathers and teachers and everyone just stopped and prayed, that's it. You know, I think that we all think that, well, if we get the right politician in there, we get a different president, we get a different Senate, or we get a Republican House, then everything will be okay. But it really is as simple as prayer. And worship, as you say, isn't it?
It really is. And believe me, politics and who we elect is vitally important to a country. But I do believe it begins with what you're saying. It's with prayer and being after God's own heart to revive this country. We don't want to be legalistic about 7:14 morning or evening. We want to pray without ceasing. But remember, Daniel scheduled his prayers. That's how they actually got him. They knew he was going to be praying. So sometimes I think for us, as we hydroplane through our busy lives, our busy schedule, to be reminded, you know, put your focus back to God, His principles, His precepts, get right with Him. As pastors are telling me, as leaders of large organizations are telling me, it's transforming how they lead because it's putting things back in order. So it is simple, and we want this to be simple.
Well, we're talking about the book, If 7:14, based on 2 Chronicles 7:14. The subtitle is An Urgent Call for Revival, It's Time. And the book is laid out around that word if and then the various components. And the succeeding verses in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I would like you to quote it again, quote each one of those verses and explain the if.
Well, first of all, we begin with chapter 1 and that's if. And then who are called? And then by my name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face. And then this big one we talked about, turn from their wicked ways. Another word for wicked that I want your listeners to understand is indifferent. Meaning be either hot or cold. But this indifferent stuff, of, hey, that doesn't matter to me. That doesn't affect me. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your indifferent ways. He then says, like a good parent says, then. Then I'll hear from heaven. And I think it's interesting that God would give us his GPS location, meaning my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I'm in heaven. You're not. I'm God. You're not. I'll hear from heaven. Then I'll forgive your sins. I mean, if you're authentic about this, I'll forgive your sins. Our God loves us that much. And then I'll heal your land. And again, that land could be a marriage, it could be a family, it could be a church. Hopefully the ripple effect is throughout the globe.
It is amazing to me that the God of the universe, who created all heaven and earth, and who knows what beyond that, actually says to us humble, pitiful human beings who can do virtually nothing for ourselves without his help, is saying to us, if you call to me, I will hear you from heaven. I will be listening when you call on my name. What an incredible gift that is. What an invitation.
Well, what a gift. What an assurance. And so as God's people, if what you asked earlier about, is there hope? Well, God says, yes, there is. There's hope. But it comes through me.
I believe there is. And I believe in the next generation and the importance of teaching them. And I think that if our children and grandchildren can't motivate us to step up to the plate and teach them and pray with them and pray for them, I don't know what would motivate us. But it's so intriguing, too, that, you know, God could just sort of wipe his hand over the United States and make everything different. And yet he doesn't want to. He wants us to participate in this change. And that is extraordinarily humbling that he says, come and participate.
It's humbling, but it's also honoring. And the reason I say that is that Darla and I have four boys. Darla argues she has five, but we have four. And other than Lucas, our other three boys love the game of basketball. And if they would come to me and say, Dad, I want to start on the basketball team. I want a collegiate scholarship. I want all of this. But you know what? I don't want to practice. I don't want to shoot. I don't want to lift weights. I don't want to do any of that. As a dad, I would say, there's no way I would let you start on the team or get a collegiate scholarship if you're not willing to put in the time, effort, and work to make yourself that kind of a player. As a dad, I know that'll be more beneficial for him. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what God's doing, saying, you know, yeah, I could do a flyby miracle here. I'm God. I could restore this entire land to me. But I want you to put in that effort. I want you to make that decision.
He also wants us to ask. And that's really been interesting to me. He already knows what we need and what we are going to ask. He reads our thoughts. He understands everything there is about us. And yet he wants us to come and talk to him and to ask. And I've done some thinking about that. You know, why would God want us to pray to him? Because he already has all the knowledge of us that there is to gain. But there is no relationship in eavesdropping.
Right.
Isn't that neat? That's a great thought of mine. That's he knows what you're going to think before you think it and before you pray it. And so he doesn't really need you to go explain that to him, but he still wants us to do it because he cares about us personally.
And to put in this context, I love the way you just said that, but put in this context, I happen to have a very busy schedule. You have a very busy schedule. But if my cell phone rings and if I see it's one of my boys, typically I'll stop everything and pick up that phone. Because if they need me, I want to hear what they need.
I do the same.
Yeah.
That's what God does to us as his children. He stops there. I want that relationship. I want to hear.
Always answers our calls.
Yes.
Yeah. If he answers our calls.
And there's no drop zones. I like that.
Is there anything else in this book you want to say to us?
Yeah, I'd like people to understand the authenticity of the call. Because some people, am I called to do this? Am I not called to do this? His heart is to insert us into this game, into this culture, to be his light. Because you're right, he could do this without us. But he calls us to be with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And blesses us when we do.
Exactly.
Well, Bob, this is a very relevant book now at this time in this country, maybe more than ever before, because I don't remember the kind of depravity that we're seeing every day. I was channel surfing a week or two ago, and I saw things that I could not believe could be on television. The words that were used and the concepts and the behavior that was showed. And it is time. That is part of your title. Second Chronicles 7:14, an urgent call to revival. It's time. I hope this book is read by many, many people across the country, tens of thousands or millions. But we have about a couple of minutes left. And Dr. Meeker, you being a physician, had expressed that you would like to get a little more information about what the experience of raising Lucas has been. And as a place to begin, I'm going to ask you to explain again what his disability is. Hmm. And then, Dr. Meeker, you take it from there, from a medical and spiritual perspective.
Well, Lucas is our third son, 3 of 4 boys, and so we knew what normal was for the first two boys. And Lucas was born with a very rare brain disorder called partial pachygyralis encephaly. Mm. And basically what it means today is that he can't walk, he can't talk, major seizure disorder, he's had a full spinal fusion surgery, breathes through a tracheotomy, gets fed through a feeding tube. But he has brought such a dimension to our life and has made such an impact to our life. And through the book, Light from Lucas, has impacted many and many of lives. And we receive yet today emails and letters about how people have been impacted through his life. In my words, he has delivered a most powerful sermon without ever speaking a word.
What's he done for you and Darla?
Well, I think one is we understand the fragility of life. We also understand that every life has a purpose. We also understand what it means about when you say the words I do, but you really, I don't know anything that's coming up.
Yeah.
And how can a gift like Lucas can either draw a couple together, which it has in many ways for Darla and I, or can tear a couple apart. And when you have a child with significant disabilities like Lucas, typically the divorce rate goes north of 70%. And there tends to be the blame game, the pointing of fingers. But Lucas has had such a positive and dynamic impact on our marriage, on our family, and on our friends, and on many other lives. And I think what it highlights and puts an explanation point on is every life has a purpose. God has designed each life for a purpose.
You even said that Lucas has brought people to Christ. How is that?
You know, it's just, I think, what they see with Lucas. As a matter of fact, if you read one of the chapters about leadership isn't optional, at the end of that chapter, our oldest son, Hans, writes a letter to Lucas.
Oh.
And when he writes this letter to Lucas, he says, Lucas, I can't explain it, but when I'm around you, I experience God through you.
Mm. Does Lucas know how to love?
Well, Lucas definitely knows how to love. I mean, although he's nonverbal, he communicates with his facial gestures or his laughs, or if something's not going right, we can tell something's not going right. But he's been such a dynamic blessing because, again, this child, most experts said, wouldn't live for 2 months and then not 2 years. And now God has gifted us with him for 21 years. Mm. I wrote the book when he was 14.
You call that a gift?
It is a gift.
And I understand that because that was my work at Children's Hospital when I was there. But many people will not understand that. Explain it. How could a disabled child that you have to care for, special needs doesn't even begin to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that being a gift?
Well, first of all, Lucas displays unconditional love. Unconditional love. I mean, even after a nurse has poked him with needles or he's gone through something that nobody wants to go through, he loves that nurse. He loves his mom. He loves his dad. Regardless of all the things that he's had to go through, he just constantly, he loves. Again, it's the dimension that he's brought to us. I tell people sometimes in your life, and if you haven't experienced it yet, you probably will, but life will throw a fastball through your picture window and you'll be left to pick up the pieces. And sometimes I believe God's greatest miracles in our lives are those that are gift-wrapped in problems or issues or something. And he wants you now to rely on him for the solutions, not on ourselves.
Well, it's all biblical. That's what Paul tells us. You know, it is, but it's hard. But I think that's just, it's so inspiring and to hear that. And I absolutely know what you're talking about, and I think that you can, the presence of God is so great through people with disabilities, and that's been my experience with other children, and I think you almost have to just be with those children to experience that.
Well, the scripture says he will use the weak to teach the strong, and he has definitely used Lucas to teach us.
Thank you for that. I think that makes it brings a lot of nice dimension to the show.
Bob, in conclusion, what do you have to say to the parent out there who is going through the struggles of having a very small child, very young child, who is experiencing the kind of thing that you guys went through?
I would say first, love that child all the more. I believe part of the reason Lucas is 21 today and hasn't passed away at 2 months or 2 years is because of the love Lucas has experienced. And understand that God has gifted you specifically with this child. And there's a lot of children who, quote unquote, are normal, but are going through a lot of things in their life that they don't deserve either. So what I would say, love, serve, and learn. And let that life be a transforming power, you know, to spread the message of the gospel, not only in your family, but to others as well.
On behalf of the parents out there who are raising disabled children, thank you for loving that boy.
Oh,
and for
thank you.
Writing the book to tell his story. We've been talking to Bob Vanderplaats, who has written an outstanding book called If 714, An Urgent Call for Revival, It's Time. Thank you for writing this book as well and for being our guest again. And Darla's been sitting here. She came with you. She hadn't said a word. And next time she comes,
she's
going to
do it solo.
From her.
Yeah, he'll, right. he'll be on her mark.
Right. Okay. God's blessings to you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. And for all of you listeners out there, if you would like to find out more about Bob Vanderplaats or his book, If 714, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for joining us today, and be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.